Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures, the solo actual play podcast where stories are told at the speed of dice. With me, Steve Morrison, your game master and solo player. Now come on, let's grab the dice and see where our story goes. Welcome to Chapter 6 of Book 1, Meridian. Last time, the Howlin' Wolf lifts off from the Heraklion interstellar starport and races towards the planet Felicia. Sejana Lushale outlines the plan. Get within 5 kilometers and use a void portal to infiltrate the station. Ayati begins making calculations for their trajectory, while Sejana prepares in the cargo bay. She warns Einur that they will be passing through the void and it might result in some unsettled feelings. They also will only be able to take minimal gear with them. Finalizing her calculations, Ayati guides the wolf towards the station, bringing them within range while avoiding active scans from the relay. Sejana opens the portal and crosses over with Einur. They arrive in the storage chamber, and as far as they can tell, they're undetected. They make it to the control chamber without issue and stun the 2 active guards. Scanning the computer systems, Sejana finds the information she's hunting for. Sending it back to her contact in the media, Sejana shuts down the system and prepares to portal them back, but the portal doesn't form. So when last we left Einur and Sejana, they are standing in the control room of this relay station, having attempted to reopen the portal back to the cargo bay of the Howlin' Wolf. Now, Sejana failed that roll, so the portal did not open. But they're still on board this station undetected, and they're standing in the control room. So I think what happens is Sejana looks down at her gauntlet, adjusts a few dials, and then looks up at Einur and says, "Looks like we won't be taking the portal back. We can just have Ayati bring the ship and dock." She steps over to the control panel and reactivates the system. She deactivates any security measures that might prevent a ship from approaching, and then she opens a comm to the Howlin' Wolf and says, "Ayati, are you there?" Ayati replies and says, "I hear you. Why are you contacting me over an open comm? I thought we were on comm silence." "Yes, unfortunately, we are not going to be able to return the way we came. I need you to power up the ship and bring it around and dock with the relay."
"Dock with the relay? You're turning off the security systems?"
"Yes, they're already off. You should have no trouble from the drones."
"All right, I'll bring the ship around. I'll be there in just a minute."
"We'll see you soon." Sejana turns off the comms, and she's going to do a quick series of inputs into the computer to make sure that the ship can approach and dock, and then she installs a virus in the software to delete any record of the wolf docking with the station once they've left. Having finished that, Sejana turns to Einur and says, "We can move towards the airlock. I've deactivated any sort of alarms or warning systems that a ship is docking, so we shouldn't necessarily alert the present guards, but we should keep our eye out for them."
"Understood."
The two of them leave the control room, and Sejana turns and locks and seals the door behind her on the way out. They move down the small corridor, and I think it's only fair that we roll and see if those other guards have finished their sparring match at this point. I think it's unlikely because it seemed like they were in the thick of it. And really, Sejana and Einur have only been on the station for 10 minutes at most. So I think it's unlikely, which means if I get a 25 or less on my percentile dice, it'll be a yes. Otherwise, no, those two guards are continuing to be actively engaged in their sparring session. So we'll roll the dice and find out what happens. 54 is a no. No, they are still sparring. So as they're walking down the corridor, they can hear the sound of fighting coming from that training room. Sejana and Einar continue down the hallway, past the crew quarters, which are closed, and there's the sound of sleeping individuals inside, maybe some light snoring that's coming through the doorway, and they make it to the airlock. Normally, I might consider doing a check here, but I think because of Sejana's success with the computer system, she has control of the station. So I think it is simply a matter of activating the airlock, stepping through, and waiting for the Howlin' Wolf to dock. Now, Sejana has deactivated any of the defenses on the station itself, but is it possible that GenCorp has a secondary alert system that is outside of the station to keep track of vessels closing in? I think it's 50-50. Let's roll the dice again. If I get a 50 or less, it'll be a yes. 37 is a yes. Okay. GenCorp has a couple of other satellites in orbit around Felicia. One of them is angled towards this station relay. It is a secondary defense system that is connected directly down to GenCorp headquarters. It is solely there as a secondary warning system for if some vessel attempts to approach the station and dock without authorization. So as Ayati is bringing the Howling Wolf in close, she slows the ship down and she is bringing it in for a docking. And I think because, you know, things are a little bit tense right now. I mean, she's not actively under fire or anything like that. We should go ahead and make a piloting check just to make sure that she can dock this ship smoothly and match the speed and trajectory of the relay as it continues its orbit around the planet. So Ayati has a pilot skill of a level 1, and she has a dexterity of 2, which is a total of 3. I think this is an average check, so we're looking for an 8. 2d6 plus 3. 5 on the dice plus 3 is an 8. So it is a marginal success, but a success nonetheless. So she brings the ship in, and I think that in those moments before the Howlin' Wolf docks against the relay, this satellite is scanning and detecting and sends a warning signal down to HQ. Does HQ have an override where they can activate the relay's defenses remotely? I think it is likely. That makes sense to me. So 75 or less will be a yes. 98. Okay, that's a no. Oh, okay. So I think there is an override on the planet. But I think what happened is Sejana, when she deactivated the defense systems, she figured that there would be some sort of override in their system. She set up a sort of feedback loop that if someone on the planet in the headquarters realized that there was a ship out around the station and tried to activate the defense systems and override the commands that were built into the substation relay, it would route them through a circuitous pathway and kind of circle them back to the main screen, if you will. And this slows down the techs on the planet long enough that the Howlin' Wolf is able to dock. Ayati and Einur are able to board and seal the airlock behind them. And the ship separates away, rotates, and engages its thrust to pull away from this substation relay. One more question for our Oracle. Does GenCorp have any other assets in space that could be sent to intercept the Howlin' Wolf as it leaves orbit from around the planet Felicia? I think it's a small chance. It seems as though GenCorp is not a weapons corporation. It is not a corporation that is made to go to war. Like, it doesn't have mercenaries on the payroll. Their thugs are pretty low level, if you will. And I think that that means that really the only defenses that that substation relay have are the drones that are attached to it. Sejana effectively neutralized those. So I'm going to say it's a small chance, which means I need a 10 or less on my percentile dice. 42, that's a no. No dice for GenCorp. The Astra Drive spools up and the Howlin' Wolf accelerates away from this substation relay, leaving behind two stunned guards, two sleeping guards, and two guards who are oblivious to the fact that this operation just happened right under their noses, until a call comes through from the headquarters. But by that time, the Howlin' Wolf is already tearing away from orbit, heading back towards Cassada. Well, that mission went, if I'm being honest, a lot better than I expected. I definitely thought there was going to be some potential for them to get into a shootout with some of the guards, or that they were going to end up being in a space battle with those drones or some other defenses in the area. But the dice really came through on that. I'm not going to complain, but I do think there's another dice roll we can make. And that's to determine if the media contact has enough information to publish a story, to go live on the quick, to expose GenCorp and their negligence with their development of the Enelmyosin. I think it's likely, because Sejana's contact said that she needed one more source to verify before going public. I think it is going to be likely. So 75 or less on the dice. Here we go. 39 is a yes. If Sejana's media contact has enough to go live with this information, to expose the fact that GenCorp has committed this negligence by shipping these lots of this drug that is faulty and is going to cause sickness, I think that is going to have a massive amount of blowback for the corporation. And because of that, I think that it is essentially going to resolve the situation for Calivar Rin, because Inspector Hallow will have the authority to protect Mr. Rin pending a full investigation into wrongdoing committed by GenCorp. Let's go back to the Howlin' Wolf as Sejana and Einur enter the cockpit and the ship is hurtling away from Felicia on its way back to Cassada. Sejana says, "That went better than I expected." Einur claps her on the back a little bit and says,
"I had complete confidence. That was the most excitement I've had in a while, and I really appreciate it."
"I appreciate you, both of you, in fact. You made that much easier."
Adi looks over from her seat and says, "Well, did we get everything we needed? Are we going to be able to expose GenCorp and help Mr. Rin get out of his situation?"
"That's an excellent question. Let me see."
And she is going to head over to the comm panel. She's going to activate it. She's going to dial in. And a moment later, a woman appears on the screen, and she has light skin, blonde hair, is done up like she might be just about to go live on the quick with a report, and she looks through the screen at Sejana with this wide smile and says, "Miss Lucille, it's good to see you again. You really came through on this one. The uplink was secure, and you got the data?" The reporter, still grinning, says, "Oh, I've got it. I've got enough to nail those sons of bitches to a wall. This is good stuff." "Sarai, I am so glad to hear that. When do you think you'll be running this report?"
"I've got a few things to cross-reference, but I think that we'll be going live for a prime-time report. We're going to take them down."
"Very good. Sarai, I have another question for you."
"Yeah?"
"There was information that I came across when I was searching for this particular feed, and it referenced a group called Verdant Consulting. Are you familiar with them at all?"
Sarai grows serious and says,
"Yeah, I've heard the name. They're corporate fixers. It's run by a woman named Sybil Clementine. She's a real nasty piece of work. She's ruthless."
"I see. Thank you for the heads up. I will keep an eye out for any trouble."
"You do that. Now, I've got to get to compiling these reports and getting them to my editor. Thanks again. You're doing good work."
"You're the one doing good work. Goodbye, Sarai. Good luck."
And she deactivates the comm channel. There's silence in the cockpit for a moment, and then Ayati says,
You didn't tell me that your contact in the media was Sarai Newtone. You know her? Is she like a friend of yours?"
Sejana turns and smiles a little bit.
"A friend is maybe a strong word, but we have come across each other a few times, and I did help her gain some information for a previous report that she was doing. So, acquaintances who occasionally help each other out."
"Well, isn't that just the sweetest thing? I've watched all of her reports. She's incredible. She's a great journalist."
"Yes, well, she will take this where we could not. I'm sure that GenCorp will be answering for their crimes."
"All right. Well, does that mean that we're done? Like, do we need to do anything else? Or was that the whole mission?"
"No, I think we should contact Inspector Hallow when we return, apprise her of the situation, and from there, yes, I think we're probably done."
"Well, my tenure as a liar wasn't long, but it sure was fun and exciting."
Sejana smiles, just that sliver of a smile, and says,
"Again, thank you both. You did very well, and I couldn't have done this without you."
I don't know about that, but we were happy to help out. After all, we're a crew. We gotta stick together."
"A crew, yes. Again, thank you. I'm gonna go to my quarters and look into some things. Let me know when we're getting close."
"You got it."
And Sejana is going to leave the cockpit and head back to her quarters. So I think that because of the news report that's going to be going out into the quick soon, I don't think there's a whole lot left to do to wrap up this particular contract. Now, Sejana has obviously kind of broken her contract with GenCorp, because she did not bring them the information. She did not bring them the data. She, in fact,
obviously went against them. Now, because of how smoothly that operation went, I don't think that they specifically know or could prove that she did anything against them. But I think that we probably should ask the Oracle about what happens next. Because it's possible that right before GenCorp comes under intense scrutiny, they might put out the word for a certain liar to go missing or worse. Does someone at GenCorp order some sort of revenge against Sejana Lushail? I think it's unlikely because I think they have a lot going on, and having realized that their relay was compromised and this information has gotten out, I think they are probably scrambling to try and cover up as much as they can, get rid of anything and everything that they can. And possibly some of the executives are even packing up their offices and trying to get off planet before the story lands. So I think it's unlikely, which means it'd be 25 or less. I rolled a 9, which is a yes. So someone at GenCorp makes a call. I think we'll leave it there for the moment. We'll noodle on how that's going to come back around. The hours pass as the Howlin' Wolf hurtles back towards Cassada. As the ship approaches, they come in to the Heraklion Interstellar Starport for permission to land. They are routed back to the berth where they were previously located. The Heraklion Interstellar Starport is the home base for Zhang imports and exports. The company that Einar and Ayati work for, and the person who owns the Howlin' Wolf. And so this berth is reserved for them, for the Howlin' Wolf. And so as Ayati brings the ship down into place, begins going through her shutdown procedure, Einar enters the cockpit and she glances over her shoulder and says, "Hey, you all right?" Einar has a very concerned expression on his face. And he says,
"Well, Mr. Zhang wants to speak with me. I think he's probably not going to be too happy about my taking the wolf to Felicia without any good reason."
Ayati frowns and says, "I thought you were going to find some cargo for us to pick up or something like that so we could cover our tracks."
"I had intended to, but I couldn't find anything on such short notice, and this seemed too important to mention, so, well, I just put in the authorization for us to leave the planet and figured I'd deal with the consequences when we got back. Well, looks like we're back. Probably time to face those consequences."
"I'll come with you. I can speak to what we were doing, and I mean, we agreed. All of us agreed." Einar shakes his head and says,
No, Hayati. It's not your place to fall on this sword. I'm the captain. I made the decision."
What do you think's going to happen? You don't think Mr. Zhang would fire you, do you?"
"Flying the wolf ain't cheap. And since we went and did it without his permission, anything's possible. I just want you to know, if he does fire me and I'm not able to come back and, well, you're a damn fine pilot. Been the best pilot I've ever worked with. And, well, I hope you do well in life."
Ayati shakes her head and says, "No, don't talk like that. It's going to be all right. Mr. Zhang will understand. You just got to explain what was at stake, and I think he'll get it."
"Maybe, but if not, it's been a real pleasure.
And he's going to turn and head out. He runs into Sejana in the hallway as she is heading seemingly towards the airlock as well. And she nods to him and says, "Ina, I just got word. The report went live. Inspector Hallow has placed Mr. Rin under protective custody. Seems like GenCorp is going to have a lot of explaining to do."
"That's good to hear. I'm glad we did what we did. I like to think it made a little difference in this dangerous and dark universe that we find ourselves."
"Are you all right?"
"What? Oh, yeah, of course I'm all right. No, I've just got a meeting to keep."
Sejana studies him and then says, "Are you sure everything's all right?"
"Yeah, of course. You're doing good work. I know people call you and your kind liars, but you've always been straight with us. Keep being you, kid."
He says this as they're descending down the ramp leading out. And Sejana is a little puzzled as she watches Einar walk away. As she is watching him walk away, we're going to make a recon roll. 2d6 plus her 3. This is a very difficult check. 12 plus. Eight on the dice, plus 3 is an 11, which is just barely a failure. It's a marginal failure. So the traveler almost succeeded. May permit them to scrape a success if they take a significant consequence. No, this is just going to be a failure. Sejana, for a fraction of a second, gets this feeling that she's being watched. It's a second too late as the sound of a kinetic rifle fills the air. And I'm going to roll an attack against Sejana. This is going to be 2d6 plus 4. They have to hit an 8. Nine plus 4 is a 13. So that is a hit with 5 effect. That is bad. And this shot is coming from an advanced combat rifle, which is 3 die of damage. Okay, so I've got 5, 11, 16 total damage with the added effect. Now, is Sejana wearing her armor? Because if she's not wearing her flak jacket, this is going to be real nasty. I think it's likely that she is. I think she is not in the habit of going out and about without it when she's kind of on a mission. And she's no fool. She knows that there's a possibility that GenCorp might send people after her still because of what she did. So I think it's likely that she is wearing it. So 75 or less. 46 is a yes. Okay. Shoo. All right. So she has 5 armor protection from the flak jacket. She's got 3 from the built-in armor on her deep skin. So she is going to have a protective armor of 8. Subtract that from the 16 is 8 damage. So 8 damage gets through. Sejana has an endurance of 9. So this shot rings out and it hits her in the shoulder. She is spun around, picked up off her feet and spun around from the impact. And she goes down hard. And Einar is like, "Lucille!" And is going to immediately start rushing towards her. Now, the question is, does this assassin stick around to see if they finish the job? Or do they see Lucille go down and think, mission accomplished? I think that it is likely they're going to stick around. So we're going to call it 75 or less. 46 is a yes. Okay, so they're going to stick around. There is the Howlin' Wolf sitting on this docking platform within this berth. And there are still those crates that were hanging out here. I think they are maybe full of equipment and parts for maintenance on the ship itself. And so they are not things that need to be loaded onto the ship or be moved around. Usually they stay here in the berth for being used by the mechanics who work on the Howlin' Wolf. And so they're kind of a little bit off to the side. So Sejana takes this shot. She hits the ground hard and she is hurt. She's bleeding, but she has been in combat many, many times before. So she has the presence of mind to drag herself under the ramp leading down from the Howlin' Wolf. And she is there holding her wound, putting pressure on it with her left hand as she's fishing out her laser pistol. As Einar comes rushing to her side, going, "Lachelle, are you all right?" Sejana, grimacing, says, "Yes, I'm not all right. Did you see where the shot came from?"
"No, I just heard it, and then I saw you go down. I thought you were dead."
"Not yet. It must have come from up above. They must be up on top of the berth. I need to get a sight out there."
She's going to activate her gauntlet, and she is going to enter a sequence and turn some knobs and dials. She pulls out a small device and activates it, and it's just a tiny little drone that just lifts up and it flies out, and she pulls up her cue and is looking through it. And she is going to attempt to make another recon. This time it's just an average check because she knows kind of what she's looking for. So +3 on this. 8 on the dice, +3 is 11. So the drone kind of whirs out and she is able to see a figure laying on top of the berth that was climbing up into a crouched position, holding this advanced combat rifle and looking through the scope down at the Howlin' Wolf. And Sejana is going to say, "All right, I know where you are now. Let's see if we can even the playing field." And she is going to scooch around Einar, who's trying to tend to her. And she says, "Einar, just stay here." And then she's going to lean out and take a shot at this assassin.
Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures. If you enjoyed the show, please spread the word. And if you want to support the show directly, leave me a review or support me on Patreon at patreon.com/errantadventures. You can also buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/errantadventures. If you want to interact with me, my handle on all the socials is @errantsolopod, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post short fiction and campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you in the deep, liars.